Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Horticulture Week podcast. I'm Matthew Appleby, Horticulture Week's editor, and today I'm with Southern Trident's CEO, Steve Harper. Now, Coir growing media company Southern Trident is to revamp its Cocoa and Coir brand and is launching a new brand called Harmony Gardens at Glee in September. And this all comes in an environment where peat reduction is a big issue. In 2020, peat-free retail sales rose from 123,000 cubic metres to 537,000 cubic metres, including 158,000 of coir. However, peat-based sales were up too. So, welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Matthew. Good to speak to you.
Now, first of all, I want to ask you about something else you've been doing recently, running for charity. What's been going on there?
I've tried over the last couple of years just to do a bit to support Perennial as one of our kind of industry charities. And last year we did a climbing down the side of a building, abseiling down the side of a building. So this year I kind of thought, what can I do? And given with COVID and everything else, thought about something that I could do without necessarily being around other people. So I said to the guys there, I would try and run or walk 2,021 kilometres. To see if I could raise £2,021 for the charity. So that's what I've been doing. So yeah, it just means getting out, forces me to go out running two or three times a week, plus walking the dog.
Brilliant. And how close are you to your 2,021?
It's a way off at the moment, but I have to say I've been a little bit quiet because we've been busy. I've been a little bit quiet in terms of posting on social media and jollying people to chivvy in. So I'll probably start to do that again once Glee's out of the way and things go that little bit quieter towards the end of the year. But I'm sure we'll get there.
Now, that's a great initiative. Now, talking about Glee, can you tell us a bit about your new launches?
Yeah. So we're kind of going from a place where at the moment we've got 66 products in our range and we're launching another 66 at Glee, just coincidentally. Wow. And beyond that, that's kind of re-originating all of the packaging on the where we're currently at the moment with the Cocoa and Coir compressed coir compost that we sell, just kind of reinventing it slightly, making it a little bit more user-friendly from consumers, making the packaging brighter and making the instructions for them a little easier and a little clearer for them to use. And then we're launching some bagged growing media compost. I mean, you'll be unsurprised given my background to hear that. So we're doing a couple of coir products, again under the Cocoa and Coir banner, a mulch to offer as an equivalent to bark, but we're using coir, and then 100% coir peat-free compost, which has always performed really well for us compressed, so we're just making it as an alternative way for a consumer in a more standard format. And then, of course, we've got Harmony Gardens, which for us is the big launch this year, where there'll be a small range of compost or growing media initially, all peat free, but the big point of difference, I think, to everybody else is it will be the first carbon neutral peat-free compost, or first carbon neutral compost ever, I think. We're just trying to take that environmental step one step further.
Great. So how does that work? How is it going to be carbon neutral?
So we've spent the last few months working out what our carbon footprint is, measuring every element of carbon that we use as a business, whether it's heat and light inside the factory, the energy that we use getting to and from work and on business, whether it's bringing the manufacturing of the coir in India and then the shipping of the coir across here, the carbon used in all of our packaging, and then finally the big part of the jigsaw puzzle is the carbon used shipping the product to our customers. So we've measured all of that, and then we've been working with a business to find an accredited way of offsetting that carbon so that we can gain carbon neutrality.
Okay. So how do you offset it?
So we've, again, looked at projects in India because it links back to what we're doing. And we found a methane capture project. Methane releases about 13 times the amount of carbon, 13 times more carbon dioxide than carbon dioxide, if you see what I mean. And so we found a methane capture program in India where they're recycling or capturing and composting wood waste, food waste and coconut waste. And obviously, given all our products come from coconuts, it seemed a good project to get involved in. So that's what we've used to support that as a way of capturing methane and therefore offsetting our carbon footprint.
Wow. So what products are in Harmony?
So initially, we're starting relatively small. So we've launched a multi-purpose, a soil improver with added nitrogen, so to give the plants a real good boost, and then a grow bag and a topsoil. So it's kind of pick out those core products that have volume with them, and that's where we're starting from, and we'll grow from that over the coming years.
That sounds amazing. And I guess this is all linked in with your long-running work with the responsible sourcing scheme and traffic light systems to find out the whole how much carbon and all the other things that products have, including through importing over the seas, including with coir. So how closely does it link with the RSS?
Yeah, I mean, the responsible sourcing scheme is obviously an important step forward for the industry, that we can kind of look at all growing media equally and look at the things that matter in terms of what impact, environmental impacts any product has. So it's looking at things like energy, water, pollution, habitat and biodiversity. So there's seven different measures that it's measuring. So that scheme is coming to fruition now, and really the kind of launch of it will be at Glee, and it will start appearing on packaging for the first time from kind of next season. So from January onwards, it'll appear on packaging, and most of the major manufacturers of growing media have signed up to the scheme, and a good number of them are working on how they can put the accreditation and the scores onto their products, as we have at Southern Trident. So you'll see the responsible sourcing information on our packaging, as well as what we're doing around peat-free and carbon neutrality.
Oh, that's brilliant. And there's quite a bit of stuff going on with legislation at the moment with the government. Well, they're launching a peat consultation. It was this summer, but it's no longer this summer, so it's this autumn. Do you know what the latest is on that?
There's consultation is, like you say, is supposed to be happening in the autumn period. And I guess we're all sitting there waiting for that consultation to start, and then we can move it forward. So none of us are any the wiser as to what where this all might end up, although there's been some fairly clear statements made as to where people are trying to target the end of peat by 2024. But we need to get through the consultation first and work forward. I don't think anybody disagrees that we need to stop using peat over the forthcoming years. I think the problem for the industry is the raw materials that replace it and how we access enough raw materials. You made the point earlier that this year, as sales have grown for compost, that includes the amount of peat that's being used. The actual percentage of peat in the bags is going down, but because the overall volume of growing media is going up, therefore we're using more peat. So we've got to find those raw materials. And in some instances, we're competing with other industries for those raw materials. And that's the problem that's facing the industry, particularly if this is all moved down to a very short time frame.
Does this mean anything for prices, do you think? That's obviously a difficult one, because peat-free is generally seen as being a bit more expensive. Are there barriers there? Are those prices coming down?
No, and I don't think they will. I think the market has to understand that prices are going to go up. I think we've got a bit of a perfect storm at the moment with prices, in the fact that we can see that energy prices through diesel and petrol are going up, so that's driving haulage costs up. The price of oil generally has gone up, which is driving up the price of plastic bags. As we need to move to new raw materials, the prices of those are going up. And even the price of peat is going up, because, as you're probably aware, there's very little peat being harvested in Ireland now since the rules changed over there. So peat that's being accessed now is tending to come from the Baltics, which is more expensive. So growing media across the board, prices are only going to be going up in the short term, at least in one direction, and that's upwards.
How do you think the retailers and the public feel about that?
I guess we've always got to be cautious of particularly the consumers. From the retailer's perspective, I think those that I speak to understand the situation, and they're seeing it in other product areas as well for different reasons. But I think the retailers understand why the prices are going up. This isn't manufacturers trying to, if you like, push prices up for the sake of it. There's genuine pressure behind it. Obviously, with the consumers, we have to keep the product as competitive as possible. But consumers will end up paying a pound or two more for a bag of compost perhaps next year than they paid this year.
A pound or two more. So you reckon it'll be that much? It'll be sort of 10-20%? What do you think it'll be?
Yeah, I think 10-20% is probably where it's going to be for next season. And it's not, nobody wants necessarily to push prices upwards, but unfortunately, everything, the raw materials, because they're constrained and there's various markets fighting for them, are going up. And then everything else that we do, from the packaging and the transport, is going up as well. So, as I said earlier, it's that perfect storm at the moment.
Is there enough coir around for you?
Yeah, I mean, coir is the, I suppose, one of the things that we need to look at more proactively. As the other raw materials go up in price, then the fact that coir is a relatively expensive raw material, it becomes it more accessible, because it gets closer to the norm. But certainly in terms of raw materials, yes, there is plenty of coir out there to be accessed and brought over. We have been increasing our capacity. Some of our team are over in India at the moment, working on building a new factory over there to increase our capacity further. So it's the capacity of coir and supplying more coir to the market is going to grow. It's not going to be the whole answer, but it's certainly going to be a significant part of it, on two parts really. One, because there's volume that can be brought across, and two, because and I guess I would say this, but it's been proven repeatedly this year, coir works really well as a peat alternative. It's the only raw material that could be used 100% to replace peat, and certainly the cocoa bloom product that we've put into a bag as one of the cocoa and coir bagged products is 100% coir. It shows that it can work in that way. So I think it's a big part of the answer for the future.
Now, Steve, you've been around the industry for plenty of years with Sinclair, Bord Nemona, and you know how the consumers work and the retailers work, and a lot of it is about efficacy and price. Do you think the consumer and the retailer is educated enough to understand that they can use a peat alternative, or do they even care much?
I think genuinely from a consumer perspective, when you talk to them, very few consumers really understand what's in a bag of compost. It's this dark brown friable material that they plant their plants in, and it grows. And it's been interesting talking to consumers about the whole peat debate, and they really don't understand it. I mean, clearly there are a percentage more environmentally minded consumers that do, but the vast majority don't. So it's just important that as we move forward and we supply peat-free alternatives, that we've got to make sure that they work. And we've got to work with retailers in terms of educating, firstly, the retailers that these products look different, and in some cases act slightly differently. So the consumer then has to be taught as well that there's different ways of doing it, and the product might look very different to a product as looked previously. But I think that kind of issue of when we first started putting other material into a bag other than just peat, even because of peat reduction, the product doesn't look quite the same as it used to. So I think we've probably overcome most consumer resistance on that front. We just now have to make sure we deliver them a quality product that they get great results from.
What's the retail take-up like for Southern Trident? Who are you working with?
So, I mean, up until I joined the business kind of tail end of last year, we were very much an online business. We were supplying, because of the compressed form of our products, and obviously we do doormats as well, it was a very easy product to retail online. But this year we've been working with bringing the product into kind of bricks and mortar. So we've been working with some big retailers, with more big retailers to come. We've been working with some great garden centre groups, the likes of Dobby's and Squire's, Klondike, Hillier's, to mention just a few. So we've now got distribution out to hundreds of garden centres and retailers across, and we're working really hard on getting it signed up in a lot more for next year. And that's already beginning to happen. We're already signing contracts for next year that will probably treble or quadruple our distribution into retail next year.
Brilliant. And when you say big retailers, non-garden centre places, are you in many of them?
Yeah, we're just beginning to get into them. So we've been doing some work over the last number of months with Homebase, and they've put it into 50 of their stores. But from my perspective, we just want to get the distribution out there so consumers can find the product. But garden centres are an important part of that. And then obviously the mass multiples that are out there as well. We need to work and get in the product into those guys as well.
So what's the sell-through like? Obviously you're a little bit more expensive and don't really look the same as what people expect compost to look like, though that's going to change from next season. But what's the sell-through like? How's it going down with the consumers?
It's been selling well, and I suppose it's been a learning lesson for us this year. It's been really clear that we work with retailers about how they merchandise the product and show the product off, and also where they put the product, because it's a non-typical product. Some retailers have struggled a little bit as to where to put it into their centre, because it doesn't go outside with the rest of the composts. So where do they put it? But there's been some great sell through where the retailers have put merchandising in place. Some of them have put kind of expanded wheelbarrows of the compost into their garden centres, and then the consumer sees immediately what the product is and what happens, and then they can buy into it much more quickly. It's doing very well on the high street. So we've got a couple of garden centres that we supply in London, which are kind of more high street garden centres, and also the new Little Dobby's format. It's selling well out of there, because obviously for those kind of formats it works well as opposed to a big bulky bag of compost.
No, indeed. And I guess you've got these urban consumers supposedly kind of more switched on, are they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you generally do find quite often, particularly in some of the big cities, that they understand the environmental issues a little bit more. I suppose maybe the impact on them in terms of where they live, despite having generally smaller gardens and the like, probably are in lots of cases more aware. But to your point, it's about convenience, I guess, for those guys. If you're shopping on a high street, it's convenient to pick up a small block and take that home with you. Obviously, if you're in a garden centre, that's slightly different. It hasn't stopped product selling through in garden centres. It's selling really well. But it's part of the reason why I've decided to also put a bagged offering alongside the compressed offering, because we know that the volume of customers, there's a big volume of customers that are used to buying the product in that way. So my view is give them the product in that way as well, and then perhaps they'll buy more in the other way in the compressed version as well, because they get used to using it.
Now, with your experience and knowledge, Steve, I can't think of anyone better to ask where you think the growing media market will be in 2024.
I think if you believe everything that you hear in terms of the conversations, there is a good chance that by then we will be peat free. But that will be driven by, are there sufficient raw materials out there to replace peat? I think that's the only blocker from the market's position. From all the conversations I've had with manufacturers and all the conversations I've had with retailers, there seems nobody's sitting there saying that we've got to carry on using peat. There's some exceptional areas in terms of the grower market, and I understand that. But I think for the retail market, it's purely and simply going to be about, can we find sufficient raw material? Can we access the right wood-based materials and the bark, given that we're competing with construction and biomass for wood-based materials? Can we get the right quality green compost to blend into our products? Obviously, Coir will play a big part of what we're doing on that front. But there are new products coming into the market that we can use as well that are coming in, things like anaerobic digestate are being used more and more. And we perhaps need to think about how we sell product to consumers. So at the moment, and there's a little bit of research being done on this at the moment, a lot of multi-purpose compost is sold to consumers and they use it as a soil improver. And that's basically taking the raw material that we can use for the multi-purpose and just digging it into the border, whereas things like digestate and green compost, they make the best soil improvers, and you can only use that in a limited way in a growing media. So we'd be better off educating consumers that if they want to dig stuff into their border, dig material into their border, then use a soil improver, don't use a multi-purpose compost. That allows the industry to flex the way it uses the raw materials more efficiently.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for that look into the future there, Steve. And we're just about finished, but what we ask all our guests just before the end is, say you were stuck on a desert island, perhaps you're on your way to India and you're on a little island somewhere near the Seychelles maybe, and you could only take one plant. What would you take?
it's a difficult one because there's so many wonderful plants out there. I guess I've become a little bit old-fashioned over the last couple of years. I've started growing roses again, and they are a side of being beautiful. Some of the aromas that come from the plants are amazing. So I'd find a really nice rose, probably a white one, and I'd take that out there, put it in a pot and tend it.
All right, well, thanks very much to Steve Harper from Southern Trident. And I'm Matthew Appleby, Horticulture Week editor. And this is the Horticulture Week podcast. Make sure you never miss a Horticulture Week podcast. Subscribe to or follow Hort Week podcast via Apple iTunes, Spotify or Google, or your preferred podcast platform. So once again, thank you and goodbye till next time.
Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.